Freddie. The last time I was up here, he was coming to say hello to me. Finley. Oh. All right. Missing my little Finley. Let me ask you. Have you known the agony of not doing the right thing? Have you ever promised yourself that you will never say something again, only to blurt it out one more time? Have you ever told someone, maybe even God, I will never do that again, but you do it anyway? Am I the only one? Okay, phew. Have you ever thought, I can't change, I will always act like this? Okay, not everybody, we're improving here, that's good. Have you fallen into the trap of comparing yourself to others?
Yep.
Have you ever thought, at least I'm not like that guy down the street or that girl down the street? Have you comforted yourself about your failures and faults by making a list of the obviously huge sins of family or friends or acquaintances? May not write it out, but you might have it in your head. What is our problem? Left to ourselves, we cannot make the necessary changes that we need to make in our lives. Isn't that true? Amen. You can just, you know, say amen anytime, or yeah, I'm hearing ya, or I have to go out and get some fresh air, or
you're in the house, sister.
So on our own, we can't keep doing all that we should. Our lives are beyond our control. Without help, we usually fail to do the right thing. Wouldn't you say that is true? So what is the remedy? I'm going to read to you what the remedy is. John chapter 15. Would you turn there with me, please? I've been camped in chapter 14, 15, and 16 this past week. Just some good stuff in there. You should do that for your homework this week. I know you don't like the H word, homework, but so these are words that Jesus shared, and it was at the close of the Last Supper on the night that he was betrayed. So these are some of the last words that Jesus shared with his disciples. And Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man or a woman remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Whoa. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other. My command is this, love each other. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Amen. You did not choose me. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. There it is again. This is my command. Love each other. In the early morning, just as the sun begins to brighten the sky, a man moves silently through a vineyard. He has work to do, and he does it with determination and absolute precision. He pauses to sharpen a pruning knife because he knows that he will be most effective if his knife is sharp. He works with skill as his hands reach first here and then there, slashing branches loose from the vine. When he is finished with that particular vine, he moves on, leaving behind a stump of where a branch used to be. The rising sun glistens on the sap as it oozes from the fresh wounds the gardener has just created. Vine dressers are divided, or they fall into two different categories. There is the one who is concerned with producing as much fruit as he can, and then there is the other one, who is more concerned about producing the best. Much or the best. And this is the picture of our Heavenly Father that is symbolized here in this passage. He is after producing the best fruit in us. So the scripture says that Jesus is the vine, the thick trunk that runs along the arbor, and we are the branches, those small vines growing out of the main vine. In verse 2, Jesus said, "Every branch in me." So being in Christ is what it means to be saved. There are only two groups of people in this world: those who are in Christ and those that are not in Christ. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, you become a branch that is connected to the vine. And I just hope and pray that the prayers that went up this morning, we're going to hear about more branches that have been connected to the vine. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. And when the branch is attached, amen. That's for my brother, Brian.
Yes.
Amen. And Ken's brother, Wayne.
Yes.
Yes. And all their kids, but we'll start with the daddies first. Yeah. And when the branch is attached to the vine supplies the branch with all the nourishment that it needs to grow and produce fruit. It isn't a question of the branch living its life for the vine, but it's simply letting the life of the vine flow through the branches. You get that? There's a difference there. So in order to produce big, luscious grapes, you know why summer is the best season of the year? Besides the weather, which I absolutely adore, and gardening, which is, hey, what I'm talking about today. But it's the fruit at this time of the year. Watermelon finally has a taste to it. It's not pink stuff that's really watery with, blah, no flavor. And grapes are so delicious. And the berries, the strawberries and the raspberries and the blueberries and all of it is so good. Except I think grapefruits are done now. I went to get some grapefruits and I think they're out of season now. Rats. Because we had some really good grapefruit. Lee would know. He's a grapefruit man. Rabbit trail. So, in order to produce great, big, luscious grapes, the gardener must severely cut back growth. Without pruning, the branches will have lots of leaves, but not much fruit. Now, even though it may feel the same, pruning is different from discipline. Pruning is God removing from our lives those things that keep us from being all that He wants us to be. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says this, forgetting what is behind, this is Paul, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. All of us who are mature, are you mature? Sure. Hopefully. All of you who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. You see, when God prunes, we can either complain. Okay, I've done some complaining. Rebel. Okay, I've done some rebelling too. Compromise and run away. Or we can keep our eyes on the prize, not on the pain. Keeping our eyes on the prize. 1 Peter 1, 6-7 says this, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed. You know, sometimes the word is hard. Here it's actually telling us, you know, you're gonna have painful moments in your life. But there is an end result that you need to strive towards. Keeping your eyes on the prize. Sometimes God moves in our lives in such a way that it causes us pain. And at the time that it's occurring, we don't necessarily stop in the moment and say something like this to ourselves, well, this is really hurting me right now, and it's probably God working in my life to cleanse me of what I don't need. You know, we don't usually stop and think it through, but it's so necessary for us to know that God is working a great work in our lives, even if we don't understand what is happening at the moment. Can anybody attest to that? God cuts out all the dead wood in our lives. Yes, He has cut out much dead wood in my life. He cuts out all the dead wood in our lives. Dead wood takes up space. Dead wood doesn't give praise. Dead wood wastes time. Dead wood doesn't tithe. Ooh, ouch. Dead wood complains all the time. Dead wood is on the phone during my preaching. Julie Perry. I caught you.
Jules, get off that phone.
I'll repeat that one again. Dead wood is on the phone when I'm preaching. Maria.
I'm listening.
Okay. Dead wood is a stumbling block to someone else. Now that one you really need to consider. Dead wood is a stumbling block to someone else. Dead wood talks holy, but walks unholy. Whoa. God cannot allow disease or rot to settle in us. He moves among us with His pruning knife to remove those dead things from our hearts, such as bitterness, resentfulness, selfishness, anger, self-centeredness, arrogance, pride. The list goes on and on and on. Don't you want it to just clean you up?
Yes.
Yes. You know, yesterday was weeding day. We got up, well, Ken got up before me. He usually does on a Saturday morning. I must confess. I like to lie in bed. He brings me coffee. I read. Anyways, I digress. So yesterday was weeding day, and I went out. Ken was already outside, and it was 9:30, and I got the coffee going and fed Maggie, and she never eats. She's a grazer. But anyway. So I went out. Ken's already 9:30 in the morning. You know what time I got back in? 3:30 in the afternoon. It was a good weeding day. Yes, it was a good day. So a few years back, at the back of the garden, the very back, a few years ago, we planted ground sedum. I should have had pictures so as you guys know what I'm talking about. But ground sedum is a ground cover. So you buy a plant, you stick it in the ground, and over time, it spreads. And this one here has light green leaves, and it flowers. It comes to flower, to blossom in the really late summer, early fall, and it has these beautiful, bright pink, kind of fuzzy-wuzzy flowers that come on it. And so it was a few years ago I planted it, and it really remained a nice little clump, you know? And then yesterday, I hadn't really been to the back. I've been focusing on the front, doing weeding. Ken and I have both been, you know, out in the front, almost done. And then when he was away at the soul care retreat last week, I did a garden bed here and a garden bed here in the back. And I hadn't even looked at the back yet, really. Well, I went back there yesterday. Ken says, let's start on the back. So we went to the back. And this stuff had spread like gargantuanly a trillion times more than last year. That's a lot. So from a patch that was about this big last year, it had like grown crazy. And it was all through my liatris. Well, when I say my, I mean Ken's too, okay? It's his liatris too. So it had grown through the liatris, and it was in the coreopsis, and it was just like, I was like, oh my word. I had you under control, but now you have spread and done your own thing. So I started to dig it up. And because it's a ground cover, the roots are very shallow. They're really close to the surface. So I was pulling it up, pulling it up, pulling it up. And as I was doing that, they had actually meandered right through the other plants. I was just like, I thought, this is a good sermon illustration. It was amazing to see how it had taken up residence in plants that I valued a little bit more than the sedum. You see, even good, I had planted that plant because I liked it. It went crazy on me. Even good can get away on us. So you know what I did? I ripped the whole thing out. Every bit of it. Yes, I did. I chose to remove the good because of what I valued. Pruning involves the removal of even good things which can hold us back from spiritual maturity, from the one thing of value. In the Father, it is the Father's desire to bring us to a place where we trust less in ourselves and more in Him. Amen? Where Christ is the center of our lives and everything else revolves around Him. My favorite gardening tool, I wanted to bring it today, okay, to show you, because you need to see it. My favorite gardening tool. So I gave the dog her con, got her ready. Bye, Maggie, lock the door, get in the car, back the car up. Oh, no, I forgot my tool, because I wanted to use it as an illustration today. So I pulled back in the driveway. I went. The shed was locked. And I didn't know where the key was. I forgot that the shed was locked. So I'm here without a shed. I'm going to have to describe it with my hand. I'm here without my tool. So my favorite gardening tool, I don't know what to call it. It's a claw. It's got a handle, and then it's a three-pronged claw. Julie, you don't use it. It's a three-pronged claw-ish thing. And the reason I like it is because when I use it, it gets below the surface. It gets at things that I cannot see. Right? When I stick those prongs in the ground and I pull up, stuff comes up that I never knew was there. Not just the roots of the plant that I'm trying to take out, but old stuff, you know, stuff that's been hanging around and rotting under the soil. And when I pulled up, I actually was having fun doing it because it was just coming up so easy, and I love picking and, you know, doing this kind of thing. I like weeding. Ah, crazy. But anyway. So I got this claw, and I stuck it in the ground, and I said, come on, you're coming up. And I pulled up, and this whole big swath about this big, like foot by foot, just popped right out of the ground. And you know what? I uncovered a nest of red ants. There was a million, trillion, gazillion of them. All of a sudden, just like all over the place, they hurt when they sting you. Okay, rabbit trail. So last year, I was in the front, and I was kneeling on the side of the garden. I had my little kneeling pad thingy that I was kneeling on, and I'm weeding away, and I looked down, and I had been kneeling over a red ant nest, and I didn't know it. And I didn't know they were all over my legs until I saw them. And the moment I screamed, that's when they started stinging me like crazy. I looked crazy because I was jumping around, yelling and screaming, ah! You know, trying to get them off. They were like, I was covered in them. Anyways, they really sting. Like, you can actually, if there's sting in your leg, you can feel it in your scalp, you know, like it just gets right through your body. Anyways, these things were, I had no idea those ants were there. I only discovered the ant nest once I uprooted that plant. Our Heavenly Father's tool, His pruning knife, is sharp. And what does He use in our lives to clean us up, to prune us? He uses all kinds of things, like circumstances. He uses relationships. He uses trials. He uses all kinds of things in our lives. They qualify as His pruning knife. And God's desire is for us to live in the blessings of much. Now, I'm not talking about material much. That's not His primary concern for your life. What I'm talking about is spiritual much. Much power. Much anointing. Much wisdom, much understanding. He has so much more for you. Are you getting it? Are you taking it? Are you appropriating it for your life? The pruning process doesn't last for one day, or one week, or one month, or one year. It doesn't happen all at once, or once for all. It can take an entire lifetime. So, I'm here to tell you today, submit yourself to the pruning process so that you can grow. I'm having to talk fast. Jesus understood that if we didn't remain in Him, there would be no fruit produced in our lives because we're not in Him. Verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. There's condition there. Conditional promise. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. And you know that your relationship with Christ has grown old when you're withering, when you come to church because you have to rather than because you want to. You know you're withering because when you read your Bible, it's like a textbook rather than a love letter. You know you're withering when you're praying, that is, when you pray, ouch, when it becomes repetition and habit rather than communication with God, your Father. You know you're withering when your worship and praise is reduced to simply mouthing the words that you see on the screen, and there's no heart in it. There's no passion in it. There's no power in it. You don't visualize yourself in the moment what you're singing. You know you're withering when. So, how do we abide in the vine? I'm going to keep her. I'm going to keep her. Look at her. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm not really, sweetheart. Don't worry. So how do we abide in the vine? Ha. Huh. Always read and meditate on God's word. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. Not only do we have to get into God's word, but his word has to get into us. That means every day we have to spend time reading the Bible, meditating on what we've read, and then seeking to apply it to the situations that we find ourselves in. Like, I'm not talking about big chunks of scripture here. Don't you tell me, I don't like to read. You tell Jesus that when you meet him face to face. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus, I was never in the Word because I don't like to read. Are you kidding me? You think that's going to go over well? No. I'll answer that for you. That is not going to go over well. God uses his word to reveal to us. I'm not talking about a whole chapter even. Though a whole chapter is awesome, or two or three. You know what? When you do studies of the Desert Fathers, okay, I'm talking about men who lived in solitude from centuries ago, back to the 1400s. When you read about them, they would take one verse. They would take one word out of a verse, and they would spend their day from morning to night for a week on that single verse or that single word. You do not have to take huge chunks of time or read huge amounts, though you should, but read a pericope and grab a verse out of it, whatever twigs in your heart, in your spirit, and take it with you through the day. Start your day off with it. Yes. That's my hobby horse. God uses his word to reveal to us when we aren't walking according to his will. So when you've got stuff going on in your life and you know you're not walking the right way, you know a good place to read when you know that you need to be like lining up with God? Go to Proverbs. Amen. Go to Proverbs. See what he says about you there. The real test which reveals whether a person is genuine in his or her relationship to God is whether they are studying the Bible and whether they are letting it have its way in their lives. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. God intends for us to be obedient to his word. This, I know I've preached it before and I'll preach it again. This is the primary way he communicates. I don't hear God's voice. I just can't hear his voice. Have you been reading the word? No. Come on. This is the primary way that he speaks to us, in his word. So, always read and meditate. Another way to abide in the vine is to bow before the Lord daily in prayer. 7. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Ask. That's praying. This doesn't mean rushing through a list of prayer requests, but rather doing some listening as well. Hearing the voice of the Lord and soaking in his presence in sweet communion. You know, we used to always hear the term, you know, soaking in his presence, you know, that was the big thing. It's not passé. Soak in his presence. The next thing to do to abide in the vine is to imitate his love. Verse 9 and 12 says this, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. And in verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Imitate his love. Another way we stay close to the vine is by seeking to be like him in our relationships with others. It's allowing the love we experience in our quiet times to spill out to the people that we are in contact with. Amen? Next is do what he says. Verse 10, if you obey my commands, here's another conditional phrase here. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Do what he says. It isn't enough to just listen to the voice of Jesus. We must believe what he says and then act upon it. We know we're abiding in the vine when Christ says, do this, and we do it. Or when he says, don't do this, and we don't do it. Next, we need to ever praise him. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. If your joy isn't complete, it's because maybe his joy isn't in you, because maybe you're not attached to the vine the way you should be. If you are really close to someone, you can't help but compliment them. You can't help but praise them. You can't help but magnify them to others. When our hearts are full of joy, that comes from remaining in the vine. It can't help but spill out of us to others. Amen? God wants us to submit to his pruning and to abide in the vine so that we will produce the best fruit. And the purpose of fruit producing is not for your benefit. So I'm going to be abiding in the vine, and I'm going to be producing all this fruit, and it's not for me. No. It's to touch the lives of others. Amen. Attachment to the vine means nourishment. Nourishment means growth, and growth means productivity for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Matthew 5 and 16 says this, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen. That, can I get a witness? That's a song, hey? Can I get a witness? That is how we witness. We need to let Jesus shine through us, right? And then somebody undoubtedly is going to come and say, What is it about you? What is different about you? There's something special about you. Well, let me tell you, it's Jesus. Amen. Jesus in my life. He is so good. Yes. As fruit, I like you. You're good. I like my American sister over here. As fruitfulness in our lives overflows, people are forced to confess that he must be a great God when he can transform sinners into saints. Amen. Like, look at me, for goodness sake. I was the least likely to ever come to Jesus. You know, people probably weren't even praying for me because they thought, no way can that girl ever come to Jesus. Like, why bother? But look at me, here I am. Like, what an amazing testimony. What an amazing testimony to, I have friends on Facebook that I knew, like, I'm not going to tell you how long ago. A while ago. I just can't do it. You be quiet, Randy. And yeah, thanks, you're my, Micah, I knew I loved you. I squeezed a lot in those 7 years, let me tell you. What was I saying? Oh, my friends, thank you. I have friends on Facebook that knew me as I was. I was not a good girl. From the time I was 15 to the time I came to know Jesus at 29. And I have friends on Facebook that know me in that time period. And now they see me posting things about God and about Jesus and about Holy Spirit. I put quotes on there. I put photographs from my Bible, notes that I've made, you know, like, and you know what is interesting? They're starting to like, you know what? It's the transformation. They see that God has done a work in my life. I am not who I was. When God gets finished with working on my life, He will receive the glory. When He gets finished working with you, your life will give Him the glory. Your ways will give Him the glory. Your songs of praise will give Him the glory. Your words will give Him the glory. Your prayers will give Him the glory. Your giving will give Him the glory. Your attitude will give Him the glory. You will see Him like you have never, ever seen Him before. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. And now we are going to partake of communion. Yes, Jesus. Now we're going to acknowledge His presence in the receiving of these emblems. Amen. Well, the keyboard's broken. You know what? When I was driving down to, When I was driving down to Guelph to preach a few weeks ago, I started singing in the car. You can really belt it out in the car because, like, nobody can hear you. And do you know what was coming to my mind? I couldn't believe what words were coming out of my mouth. Old songs that we used to sing when we first got saved. And I could remember all the words. There was a couple I'd stumble over and I'd be, so, okay, hold on a sec. We're going to sing about Jesus right now. Let me think of one that you might know. Remember this one? Jesus, Jesus. You can stop recording now, by the way, please.